Thank you, Lord, for the strength that you give to simply carry on through all those life's toils and tests and the worst and best. He's promised to never leave us, never forsake us. We're not ever left alone. I love those words. You're always right beside me. You hear our prayers, Lord. And you're our dearest friend. Marion didn't know that, but that really goes right along with the message this morning. Actually, the message that I was going to preach this morning, in fact, I think I actually told a couple people, the children can go now. Actually, I told a few people, I said my message this morning was going to be on, the text was going to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown in the fiery furnace. And if you remember when they were thrown into the fire, remember they heated the furnace up 7 times hotter. And it said they got the biggest, strongest guys in the land, so you know they tied them up good. They didn't get no little weaklings. And they tied them up and threw them in the furnace, and the furnace was so hot that it even killed the big bad guys that threw them in the furnace. And it doesn't say how they got loose. Now, I am not one to like adding or subtracting from the word. But just suppose how they got loose. It says they were loose in the fire. Now, it said the fire didn't burn them, didn't singe them. They didn't even smell like smoke. But I started praying about it and asked the Lord. And it just seemed like he just put on my heart that when you're going through the fire, what Satan has bound you, the strong man, the fire will consume it. The fire will burn it off of you if you'll let it. But that's not the message this morning. That was going to be a good one. But yesterday, Lord just changed my thoughts. And I was really arguing with him because the text is in Romans, Papa Jay. And I'm like, it's Romans chapter 8. And I'm like, let's see, Tuesday night we start chapter 6. Papa Jay is going to be in Romans chapter 8 pretty soon. I'm telling you what, Jim, you may spend a month in chapter 8. It's got some good stuff in it, doesn't it? I tell you what, I told somebody this week, last night, I said, I'd rather you come on Tuesday night than come on Sunday. I said, is Tuesday night good? Shoo! My goodness, I had somebody told me Tuesday night. I said, I don't know if I've ever heard a better message than the Romans chapter 5 that we just heard on Tuesday night. Is it just me or is it warm in here? It's me, okay. Tony, if you're doing a Tony does a title, he has to, does a title on the hisplaceoutreach.org. Just put the title and it came to pass. Okay. Didn't come to stay. If you're going through that mountaintop experience we just sang about and everything's the land of plenty and everything's wonderful and good, well, guess what? It'll pass. But if you're down in that valley and things are pretty rough right now, well, guess what? That's going to pass too. I started thinking about Jim Jackson's next-door neighbor. Lives right smack across the street from him. Bobby Roberts was my boss for years. He was really the first one that ever really saw something in me and gave me a real chance at work, and gave me a really good job. He was my boss for about a dozen years. And then he was my coach back when we were with Gulf States. He was my coach. Bobby started at Rock 10 when he was 15 years old, part-time. Went full-time when he was 19. He turned 60 last Sunday, and they fired him a couple days before his birthday. No reason. Just called him in, gave him a chance to resign and retire, or they was going to let him go. I'm trying to think, when I've worked somewhere for 45 years, and I'm just a couple years from retirement, haven't done anything, and they come in and let you go just to save some money and bring in some younger people. I may be in trouble since this is being recorded. That's okay. because I think the Lord's gonna take care of him. You know, Brenda Lewis. Brenda Lewis is in the hospital in room 264. I wish y'all could go see her or give her a call. She's been there all week. Brenda had a daughter who got a shot when she was 40, and she reacted on her, and she basically, for the next 7.5 to 8 years, didn't know anyone. She was about 60 pounds when she died. She was all curled up. Mimi, we went to pray for her, and Vaughn, many of us went to pray for her. Blew the shofar around her bed and prayed in the spirit. She went to be with the Lord this summer. But now Brenda has cancer. Brenda just had colon surgery. Said she's just a modern-day Job, it seemed, that all the things that she went through, caring for her daughter for 7 years. But then, you know, I looked on the internet this week, and I saw about a girl who just died in Florida that had been like that for 42 years. 42 years in a coma. And she and her mother, the last thing she told her mother was not to leave her. So her mother never left her side until her mother died about 4 years ago. You can always look at someone who is just a little worse than you are. Just a little worse. Lindy Cannon had surgery on his hands and his feet this year. Mark's just coming down Highway 70 from work the other day, and he's just been blessed with a car, and seems like he's on that mountaintop. He's got a beautiful family, a new little boy there, Zachariah Daniel. He's got a new job, and he's on his way home, and a drunk driver hits him from behind and breaks a foot, and see his knees hurt, and his ribs are hurt, and his back's hurt, and his neck's hurt, and other than that, he's in pretty good shape, aren't you, Mark? And he's out of work right now. Insurance, they don't even know if she had insurance. She'd been in prison for hit and run and had DWIs before. There's some financial issues when you go through something like that and you don't have a job. You don't just call the bill company and say, hey, you know what, I got a broke foot, so I can't pay, you know. They'll kick you out. Mike and Janice. Janice is home this morning. Her sugar is, what was her sugar level? 47. I mean, it's been 600 or 7, what was it, 747 one day, and now it's 47. She's been on this roller coaster on this sugar. I just can't tell you the things that Janice has been going through. Church, we need to pray. We're having intercessory prayer here Saturday night. If you're an intercessor, we'd love to have you come. If you're not, you're all called to. We're all called to be intercessors, you know? You know what? I'll get to the message here in a minute. We're all called to be intercessors. So we're going to have intercessory prayer here Saturday night. If two or three are here, you know what? He's here in the midst, and he's going to be with us, and he's going to hear our prayers. First Samuel chapter 30, you don't have to go there. I'll just read, I think, about 18 through 20. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. So in other words, you know, when your world's turned upside down, you've lost your job, maybe you've had to file bankruptcy, maybe you received divorce papers, Satan's coming in and taking your belongings, it's time to do three things. If you keep taking notes, you can write them down. It's real easy. Talk to God. Turn to God. And trust in God. And that's what David did. Basically, God told him, go get his stuff. Go get your stuff back. He got it all. Did the victor go the spoils? You know, Jeremiah, if you want to, I tell you what, go to Jeremiah 29, Murray. And let's do 11 through 13. Everybody knows Jeremiah 29, 11, right? Good plans, right? Let's go to 29:11 through 13. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. But then, how many know verse 12? Verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Look at verse 13. You will call upon me and pray to me. I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you search with me with all your heart. You know, a lot of times we want to focus on verse 11, but we got to look at it all in context. You know, this isn't a one-sided relationship. You know, this is a give and take. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, and we'll just stay right there. Marie, let's say 31 through the end and 39. Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, you know, we could go home right there. That's all we got to hear. If we really believe that, I underlined it here when I typed it in. If God be for us, who can be against us? We could close the book right there. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Verse 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, I like what Jim said Tuesday night, more than that, of all this that we've already heard, but it's more than that. Guess what? Who was raised and who is now at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we're being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are, say, more than conquerors, super conquerors through him who loved us. Boy, verse 38, what could have... For I am convinced, some say, for I know, for I'm persuaded, for I am positive, without a doubt, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nor anything else in creation, nothing, absolutely nothing, is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My goodness, I can't wait to hear Jim teach on that. Inseparable love. Let's go back to, you know what, we started with 31, but you know 28 is already been established. Let's throw 28 up there, Tony. And we know that God causes all things, say all things, all things. Maybe we need to say it again. All things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He causes all things to work together for good. So having established that, let's look at verse 35. We're asked if it is possible for circumstances to separate us from the love of Christ. You know, Paul, he listed seven things. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? Will distress? Will persecution? Will famine? Nakedness? Peril? Or sword? You know, I looked up the word separate, and it comes from a word that means space or distance. Can anything or anyone make a distance or a space between God's love for us? Can anything lead him to cease from loving us? You know, as I thought about that this morning, because when I pulled this old book out from back in the 80s, and I saw a couple on here, Kelly Nealon and her husband, Jerry Thompson. And something happened there. Jerry kind of flipped out, and they're no longer together. There's husbands and wives. There's fathers and sons. There's mothers and daughters. There's brothers and sisters, uncles and nephews, friends, co-workers that have been close. How many times have you had a close friend and they'd leave you or they'd forsake you, Brother Ray. How many times? But God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us, no matter what we do. We're His kids. We're His child. You know, Dad used to say, because I was adopted, that it was even a closer because He didn't get stuck with me. They chose me. I'm chosen. Woo! That'll preach too, won't it? That's another message. God chose us. God chose us. He didn't get stuck with us. He chose us. Woo! Okay, where am I at? I'm getting off on one of them Papa J rabbit trails. Paul gives us this sample. Let's go through these. Tribulation. Tribulation may deplete or fatigue us, but it's not able to separate us from the love of God. So don't let stresses in. Don't let tribulations come in and separate you from that. Distress, that's inward pressures and anxieties. You know, he says we're not to be anxious for anything. You know, we're not to be anxious. But distress makes you feel unloved and unlovely and unintelligent or unable to cope. Distress brings depression. You know, so many times we get down and we get distressed. Is that able to keep God's love from us? Absolutely not. Persecution. Persecution is evil inflicted because of one's relationship with Christ. It attacks sometimes through false rumors or false accusations or sometimes through gossip. Persecution. Man, I was looking at the disciples and how they died. Persecution. Crucified upside down. Beheaded. Looked at John the Baptist, the forerunner for Jesus. And what was that lady's name? Herodias. Herodias, who, you know, Herod married his brother's wife, and John the Baptist basically told him, you ain't supposed to do that, you know. Well, Herod, you know, puts him in prison, but Herod's not really, I mean, he's not stupid. He's not going to mess with him. He's not going to do anything to him, really. He's going to leave him in prison in there, you know. But guess what? It's his birthday. His birthday. He's drinking a little bit, you know, and one drink's plenty and two's too many, but three ain't near enough. And he's just had three too many. And Herodias' daughter comes in there in her little cheerleading outfit and starts doing a little dance for him. I'm painting that picture, brother. And what happens? In a weak moment, maybe in a little drunken moment, he says, "Girl, I'll give you anything up to half of my kingdom. What you want?" And she asked Mama, what should I ask for? She says, "I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Well, Herod gave his word. He had to keep his word whether he wanted to or not. And John the Baptist is beheaded. Listen, that's persecution. Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him, but he was persecuted. But did that keep him from the love of God? Did God not love him? Did he say, "You know what? I'm kind of upset with you right now, and I'm just going to have your head on a platter." He loves us, and he's promised. He's never promised us a rose garden. He never promised us that cross wouldn't get heavy at times. And I said that earlier, some of us have a more of a pain tolerance. Remember that preacher used to say, "Give till it hurts." And then he said, "I realize the tolerance of pain is not very high." So he says, "Give till it feels good." After persecution is famine. Famine and nakedness, number five, are physical evils. One deprives us of nourishment, the other of clothing or shelter. How about peril, approaching danger, or being in jeopardy? Of course, we all know what the sword is. That's the only thing that Paul hadn't suffered up to this time. Paul's not talking about imaginary things. These aren't imaginary things. These are actual. These seven things are actual things. But God does not keep a man immune from trouble. Tony, pull up Hebrews 13:5, I believe. How many know that right here in caps, Jesus said, "I will never desert you. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you." That's why it's in caps. Everybody knows that. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But look at the prerequisite, what he's talking about here. Make sure your character is free from the love of money. It doesn't say money. It says the love of. Make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For God himself said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He wants us to, he wants our all. He wants us to trust. You know, he wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him in our finances. He wants us to trust him in all things. Make sure your character is free from the love of money. If the conditions Paul mentioned cannot separate us, then no circumstances, nothing on earth, if these seven cannot separate us from the love of God. But notice it says nothing can separate us from the love of God. But what about our love for him? Okay, how many times, I don't want to step on any toes, but how many people you know, I want you to raise your hand, how many people have you know have just went crazy and left the Lord? They've been in, and have took off. Remember, Kern, your brother. Man, he went to church for 15 years. His wife left, took off with some other guy, and he's just like, what's God done for me? What's he done for me? Listen, he did it. He did it on the cross. It's already done. He did it. It's over. What else can he do? He did it all. But that doesn't promise us. Listen, if Christians, it's kind of like, how many kids you have? You got three. You got a favorite? No, you ain't got a favorite. You love them all, huh? Uh-oh, he's thinking, oh, James is sitting beside me. Maybe I... you... Woo! We love all of our kids. We love them all. You know, they're us. They're part of us. They're our kids. We don't have a favorite. So if we could say, well, this one over here is my favorite. And if God was like that, he'd say, well, you know what? He loves me, so he's going to be my favorite. I'm gonna make sure that everything goes well with him. I want to make sure everything is blessed with him. You know what? I wasn't planning on reading this, but I did type it out just in case. If you're going to do your homework, you can go to at home. You can write this down. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. And then Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68. That's the whole chapter. The first 14 verses are the blessings and the blessings, and about the last 50 verses are the curses. And you know, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, and be careful to do all of his commandments and all that I command you today, then the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth, and all the blessings shall come in you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. It says again, blessed will be you in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of the cattle, and the increase of your herds, and the young flock. And blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, and blessed will be your coming in, and blessed will be your going outs. And the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you, and they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And the Lord will command the blessing on you in his barns. And it just keeps going on in the blessings. But what does it keep saying? It says it again down through here. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. There are some blessings to walking with God, and there's some curses to not walking with God. But that doesn't mean every day is going to be a mountaintop experience. There's still valleys. Without the valleys, you know, that's right. There wouldn't be a mountaintop experience. I've shared with many people. I remember there was a guy at work who was a deacon at a Baptist church here in town. And he told me, he said, you know, I get so tired of the mountains and then the valleys and the mountains. He said, I just wish everything could just be like this, you know, just going along. And that was when your mom was in the hospital, and we went in to see her, and I saw that machine, and it was going whoop, 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 whoop. But if it ever goes, you're in trouble. And it reminded me of what he said. I wish life was just like this. If life's like that, devil's got you. If everything's smooth and just nice little ride. You know, when we go to the theme parks, I never liked to get on those roller coasters and stuff. I like to do that little tram that just kind of went around, or that little boat that just kind of, you know, went around. I kind of like that in the natural. Boring. But, you know, if life is a roller coaster, the Christian life, whew, is even more so, is it not? Amen. All right, let's get back. All too often, our love for Christ is separated from us, and we don't stand convinced that God's working all things together for good. We're not convinced that God's on our side. We're not convinced and persuaded and positive that everything he's doing is for our good. And it made me remind me of Marion's flower garden. She's got a flower garden and a half. And she's got some beautiful flowers. But the winter cold's come in, hadn't it? The enemy, those white flies came in. But the cold has came in. And the leaves are brown, the flowers are gone. But the root is still there, and there's still life in the root. And spring's coming, y'all. Spring's coming. 118 days to spring. 118 shopping days till spring. And those flowers are coming back, because I don't let her buy those perennials and stuff. They're a waste. We just get those annuals. They come back every year. And you may look at it and say, that's dead, but there's some life in it. There's some life in the root. All these outward sorrows that we go through can affect the outward life, but they can't affect our inward life. Okay? Let me say that again. All these outward sorrows we've been talking about, we may show some battle scars on the outside, but inwardly, we're still all right. They can slay worldly joys, they can stifle earthly hopes, and bind us into dark solitude, but they cannot touch even the smallest way the love that Jesus has for us. I loved what Jim was talking about in Romans 5 this Tuesday night. Man, I tell you what, did we tape that? We did. Man, I tell you what, you guys got to go online. I won't even go there. You just need to listen. Romans 5, that was one of the best messages I have ever heard. And a lot of it parallels with what I'm saying today. Romans, just the whole chapter. Listen, if y'all aren't coming on Tuesdays, you need to, okay? Make Christ your cause for joy, and you'll never be without joy. Make Christ your reason for hope, and you'll never be hopeless. Make the Bible your constant companion, and you'll never be alone. Because he gives joy to those that don't have joy. He gives hope to the hopeless. You can be alone, but never lonely. You know what I'm saying? We can face and overcome the withdrawal of all and the assault on all if we have found Christ, our all in all. I started to sing that this morning. He's our all in all. If he's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. There's real danger that these seven things I mentioned and other things, there's real danger in allowing these things to separate our love for Christ, but nothing will ever separate his love for us. I can't say that too much. I preached a message one time on the oyster, talking about the pearl of great price, and how that irritation gets in there with the oyster. And what does it do? It makes something beautiful from it. God's wanting us to take that irritation in our lives and make something beautiful of it. The world's watching us. The world's watching. just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that other message, as they was in the fire, the world was watching them. Remember it said they had all the congressmen and the senators and the city councilmen and the county managers and the Environmental Development Corporation and the president. I wasn't going to mention him. They had anybody who was anybody there. All the big wheels were there. They were watching. The world was watching. You know what I liked about King Nebuchadnezzar? Boy, I'm getting off on this other message. This was a good message. King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't too dumb. Once he saw the power of God, he wasn't like Jezebel. He said, you know, hey, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he's for real. And I'm setting this as a day right here. And that's chapter 3 of Daniel. If you look at chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar wrote chapter 4. So you can either say, well, if Nebuchadnezzar's, if he's born again and made it to heaven, that chapter's written by the newest convert in the Bible. Well, if you don't think he made it, then that's the only chapter in the Bible written by a sinner. I don't believe it, but that's another message. Let's go to verse 37, still in Romans 8. Something extraordinary happens to a man who holds to the love of God when the odds are against him. Verse 37, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through the one who loved us. We're more than conquerors. The disasters that Christians experience in the world are not intended to separate us from Christ, but to bring us closer to Him. Did you hear that? The disasters that we go through, the trials that we sing about, the tribulations that we go through, they're not to separate us from God. They're to draw us closer to Him. How many times as a child, you see a child hurt? When Bella gets hurt, who does she run to? And Papa, probably Papa Russ. Yeah, run to Papa or Mama. When the children get hurt, they don't run from you. They run to you. And that's a good example of us as God's kids when tribulations and trials come, not to get upset at Him and run from Him. It's to run under His arms, under His wings. The Christian we become a conqueror, not in spite of these things, but because of them. Notice what the text said, in all things. See, it said in all things. We conquer in all the strife of life. The Bible doesn't simply say that we conquer in or through them, but we're more than conquerors. Say, Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. These things, you know, tribulation, distress, persecution, and all, they produce joy in us. They're not things to flee from, but to overcome. Isn't it the first chapter of James? Somebody read James 1 and 2. James chapter 1. Or you can put it up there if you can, quick enough, Tony. James, the very first verse or two in James. That's it. Count it all joy. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. So when you're going through it, when you're going through a valley, what's it say? Woo! Hallelujah! Come on! Man, this is good down here. That's what it says. Consider it all joy. What's joy? Consider it. Maybe he's just talking to the men. Consider it all joy, my brothers. Maybe he's not talking to you ladies. Consider it all joy, you guys, when you encounter various trials. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm going through the fire. When everything's going well, some Christians just barely look like it. Listen, there's a girl at Walmart. I went through her line 75 times, I bet, in the last 10 years. I've never seen her in a good mood yet. Not once. I went through her line just a couple days ago, and I'm not going to say her name because we're recording. I said, and I thought, I'm going to really lay it on. I'm like, woo, this is a great day. How you doing? She went, I am tired and ready to get out of here. Sometimes, Christian, we're like that. You can't even tell we're on the mountaintop. But, you know, when you see a brother or sister down in the valley, we need to get down there. You know, Mark, where are you going, Mark? I was just getting ready to tell people to love on you. When you see Mark going through a tough time, you know, I think, you know, next week's the first of the month. I really think we need to take a love offering. So y'all bring a little extra next Sunday. If you're not going to be here, then you just leave here this week. I think we need to bless this couple. They've been faithful. They've been faithful in all things. They've been here. Listen, they got married on a Sunday, and they was at church. They got married on a Saturday, and they was at church on Sunday morning. Now, that was crazy, but they was committed. And it's not their fault that what happened to Mark. And it's not their fault that the insurance, the company's not even saying whether they got insurance or not. And the over and under won't cover them because they don't know whether the girl had it yet. That's not their fault. I think it's the church's responsibility to see people when they're going through a trial, to just reach down. The Bible says just reach down and help them, lift them up. You know, sometimes we can do it with finances. Sometimes we can just do it with encouragement. Sometimes we just pick up the phone and call Brenda Lewis or go to room 264 and just say, just wanted to come by and love on you. Took her a red poinsettia the other day and looked over there, and somebody had already beat me to it. Somebody had already brought her a red poinsettia. Like, now you got a pair. I should have took her a white one. But sometimes, I was saying, sometimes that we can't tell when we're on the mountaintop or when we're down in the valley. We've got to trust in God, because things are going to happen. You know, Allison was talking about that dog last week, and I'm glad it wasn't a Chihuahua. Me and Jim are in agreement. Chihuahuas don't go to heaven, right? Come on, Jim, back me up, brother. Don't be Democratic here. She was talking about the dog and her compassion for an animal that had been hit, and you know, my dog's gone now. I'm not going to cry. It's going to be okay. Mary might. Old Fritzy, he's 12 years old. He just took off the other night. It was like Friday night, about 7 o'clock. Get her a Kleenex, Susan. And didn't come back. You know, I'm going to miss a little booger. You know, we've had him for a long time. He's a good dog. How many dogs you went? How many of them boxer bulldogs you've had, Papa J? 7? 5? He had one that he called and it ran across the street to him and got hit by a car, didn't you? It causes pain. It causes pain. We go through pain. Now some people's got a little more of a hard heart about animals. Mimi don't like animals, do you? Jack's not crazy about them. That's okay. I know. But Susan's nuts about them, and so's Janice, so's Denise. Listen, God put things here on creation. Marion's crazy about flowers. Some people just went crazy about them. You know, he's put all of creation. He's put all of creation for us to love and to enjoy. But we can't lose, we can't just absolutely lose it when something happens. Because when we know where our faith is. We know who's in charge. Yes, say that. Have believe it and am persuaded that he is able until that day. Amen. 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 If he brings you to it, he's going to bring you through it. I was thinking of a message I preached earlier in the year about Paul and Silas when they were in that jail. Remember when they were in jail? They were incarcerated in the maximum unit. What do they call that, Richard? Maximum security, lockdown, whatever. They were in the they was in the rough part. And what were they doing? They was weeping and wallowing in self-pity and, oh, woe is me, and Can you believe we're in here and all we're getting is bread and water? No, they were singing hymns and singing praises. They were blessing. And what happened? The walls come, earthquake comes, the walls fall down, and shackles fall off, and they didn't even take off. They sit there and ministered to the jailer and saved him and his family. That's what will happen. God will send divine appointments to you. Remember Joseph, when Joseph was in prison for 7 years. Man, Joseph's a man of God. I've always said God showed us the strongest, the wisest, and the godliest men in the Bible. Samson, the strongest. Arguably, David, the godliest, and Solomon, the wisest. And what was the downfall there? But not Joseph. Not Joseph. You know Potiphar's wife. She wasn't no ugly woman, was she, Brother Ray? Mm-mm. She was beautiful when she came. He made that decision way before he was ever in that place. He had made that decision way before. Mm-mm, I ain't going there. But then he ends up in jail. But God. But God. You know, we've got a Bible slam full of people that had that mountain and valley experience. And I just want to encourage you, when you're down in that valley, don't give up. That song we sang, when the adversary says, give in, that's time to hold on, because God's going to show up and he's going to go through the fire with you. He's going to be there because he's promised to never leave us and never forsake us. People have debt. They're drowning in sorrows and hardships and suffering. But remember, God's love for you is stronger than ever. He'll never desert you. He'll give you his strength and he'll go through the fire with you. I started looking last night at a couple people. One was Handel. Remember, Christmas is coming. Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus. In April of 1737, well, this is 4 years before he wrote Messiah. 4 years. He's age 52. He apparently suffers a stroke. It disables his four fingers on his right hand and prevents him from performing. During that summer, the disorder, it seemed at times to even affect his understanding. He started having tons of financial problems, and nobody expected that he would ever perform again, that it was pretty much over. But he went to Germany. Said he had rheumatism, was having a nervous breakdown. He went to Germany to aid his recovery and spent 6 weeks taking long hot baths there in a spa. And it said he came back, ended up playing the organ for a surprise audience of about 12,000. Then 4 years later, he writes Handel's Messiah. In August 1750, on a journey back from Germany to London, he's seriously injured in a carriage accident. One of his eyes start failing. He ends up having cataracts, surgery, loses his vision. So for the last 8 years of his life, he doesn't even have eyesight. His last performance he attended was his own Handel's Messiah. And there's over 3,000 attended. But instead of being separated by God for his misfortunes, he draws closer to the Almighty God, to the Everlasting Father. And he ends up being a conqueror, an overwhelming conqueror, and ended up writing a beautiful piece called Messiah. One last lady I want to tell you about. Many of you all know her, Fanny Crosby. She composed over 8,000 songs, plus over 1,000 poems. When she was only 6 weeks old, a faulty eye treatment from an eye infection resulted in her being blind for life. At 6 weeks old, never being able to see. But by age 8, she wrote her first poem, and the poem went like this. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world content shall I be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. An 8-year-old, first poem. It's pretty good, wasn't it? Instead of weeping and sighing, she dedicates her blindness to God, and out of her rich Christian experience, she wrote 8,000 gospel hymns. You know, her testimonial song was Blessed Assurance. But I remember we used to sing every Sunday morning when I used to play the piano at New Manna, we'd sing one of her songs. First song we sang as the choir came in, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. She sang, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Many, many songs, face to face. The Blessed Assurance was kind of her testimonial song. And I was looking at the words last night, and it's talked about visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Woo! She couldn't even see. The visions of rapture bursting on her sight. And some of the other words talked about watching and waiting, looking above. Whew. Whew. Filled with your spirit, lost in your love. Not being separated from the love of God. Whew. Mm-mm-mm. It said her tombstone said, Aunt Fanny, she hath done what she could. Whew. Man, wouldn't that be a good one, Papa J? Just say, Papa J, he did what he could. He gave it his best shot. You can't have nothing better said about than that. Aunt Fanny, she did what she could. That's what her tombstone says. She's buried up in, I forget, it's somewhere up north, Berkshire, Massachusetts, somewhere. Mm. But you know what? She was born in 1820. She met her husband in 1843. She's 23 years old. They dated for 15 years before they got married in 1858. Now, like Marion and I, we'll be married another month, 21 years. They were married 21 years, and off he went. And she was alone from 1880 until she died in 1915, 35 years. He was blind too. But they had a daughter, one daughter, and she died 2 days after she was born in her sleep. And that caused so much grief with him that he left. And she said, you know, in her right before she died, she said, I've loved him to the last. I've always loved him. But he's gone. But that didn't separate her from the love of God. She still kept her eyes focused on her heavenly Father. You want to know how to apply her secret? While many of us seek Christ for what we can get, she sought Christ for what she could become through him. More than a conqueror. Even through times of extreme distress, 2 Chronicles 12:9 says, God's grace is sufficient, and he's lovingly working to make us more like his Son. So is our Christian life about becoming or about getting? We need to seek Christ for not what we can get, but what we can become. Because of the divine love of Christ for us, we can have the confidence to walk through this life. Because nothing can separate us, separate his love for us from us. So is life causing us to love him more, to cling more tightly to him? Is it causing us to be more faithful? Or is it causing us pain and suffering? As the world's watching us, are we gonna grow closer? Are we gonna grow closer to him? Are we gonna run to him? Or are we gonna run from him? Tony, if you would put some music on, and let's stand. And as the music plays, I just pray that something I've said in this rabbit trail today will take hold, and you can take it home with you. Pray that when you're on that mountaintop, you recognize that you can look down in that valley and see some of your friends, maybe some of your coworkers, maybe a spouse or a parent or a child or a friend or a neighbor or someone that you can just put your arms of love around and reach down there and pull them back up. Because it's not going to be long, you're going to be down there yourself. And when you're down there, just remember to look up. Look up. Remember when I was teaching on Noah's Ark, I said, the window, they put the window 18 inches all the way around. They didn't put a window in the bottom. It wasn't a glass bottom boat. They didn't put a window in the side. The window was up so you could keep your eyes focused where it's supposed to be. Keep looking up. That was the only way you could see out, to look up. We need to keep our eyes looking up. Keep our eyes focused on Him. Father, we want to grow closer to You. We want to run to You. Father, I just bless Janice right now. I just lift her up, Father. I just ask, Father, that You just make a house call this morning to wherever she's at, where she's at home this morning. That You would just touch her, Father God, from the crown of her head to the bottom of her feet. And we just command You to take Your hands off of Janice this morning, right now, in Jesus' name. She is the head, not the tail. She is more than a conqueror. Father, we just come against depression. We just come against tribulation. We come against all the peril that is in her life. We just speak confusion in the camp of the enemy right now. Command You to get Your hands off of her enemy. In Jesus' name, she is a sister of the Most High God. And we just receive that healing in her name, in Jesus' name, for Janice this morning. We thank You, Lord, that You're the great physician and You still make house calls. And we thank You for touching her right now, Lord God. Lord, for Bobby Roberts that I mentioned, Lord God, that You just comfort him. Father, I just bless my sister Deb that's going through the fight of her life right now. Lord, I thank You. I thank You for each one under the sound of my voice, Lord. And I just bless them. I bless Mark, Lord God, and Tiffany, that You would just pour down good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over on them, Lord God. And right now, where it looks like it's hopeless, and financially, they don't know how they're going to make it. We remember, Lord, just last month at 8 o'clock when He called and said, I just lost my job. And I said, yesterday's regrets and tomorrow's fears are going to steal your joy today, brother. We're just claiming a better job. And He got a better job in 4 hours. And we remember that miracle. And Lord, we need another one. We need another one this morning, Lord. And we thank You in advance because we know it's on the way. So thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. We praise You, Lord, when we're in the valley.